Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. We'll read the first 18 verses, although we will be reaching farther into the foregoing context, but we'll read the first 18 verses. My text is verse 11. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There ends our reading of God's Word tonight. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of the Holy Scriptures. My text tonight is the 11th verse of the chapter. Jesus' word, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. One of the most important questions with regard to the death of Jesus Christ is the question, for whom did Jesus die? For whom did he lay down his life? Who benefit from Jesus' death on the cross? In the end, there are two and only two answers to that question. The first answer is that Christ died in order to save all men. Every man, woman, and child, whoever has been or will be born. At the very least, it was Jesus' intention to save all men. It was Jesus' desire to make salvation possible for all men. Over against that wrong view is the teaching of the Reformed faith, which is the teaching of Holy Scripture, that Jesus died not to save all men, but to save some only. Jesus died in order to save the elect. This is Jesus' own teaching in the words of our text for tonight. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." For the sheep. In this passage, Jesus uses two closely related figures in order to describe himself and his saving work on behalf of his people. Both of these figures are related to sheep herding, a very common occupation in Jesus' day. First, Jesus teaches in the passage that he is the door or the gate into the sheepfold. And he teaches that he is the great good shepherd of the sheep. He is the door of the sheep. That is, the door through which the sheep must enter in order to obtain the safety of the sheepfold. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." In two senses, Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. He is the door into the sheepfold, first of all, because all who ever came before him, all the shepherds of God's sheep who came before him, were his representatives called to labor among his people on his behalf as his representatives. He says that in the opening verses of the chapter. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Only those who are accounted true shepherds of Jesus' sheep are those who are the representatives of Jesus among his sheep. But secondly, Jesus is the door into the sheepfold because it is only through him that a man enters into the safety of the sheepfold. That's verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." But besides his teaching that he is the door into the sheepfold, Jesus teaches in our passage that he is the great good shepherd of the sheep. This is his teaching in the words of our text. "I am," he says, "the good shepherd." Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the one and only good shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. Tonight I call your attention to the words of the text under the theme, The Good Shepherd's Death for His Sheep. Let's notice three things together. First of all, let's notice the Good Shepherd's giving of his life. Secondly, let's notice that he gives his life for his sheep. And then finally, the benefit of the giving of his life. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because of his own innate goodness. He is the Good Shepherd because of his personal goodness. He has declared that in the passage. He has declared himself to be the Good Shepherd of the sheep. He is the one to whom the porter opens. He is the one whom the sheep follow, whose voice the sheep recognize and obey. By me, says Jesus in verse 9, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Jesus knows the Father as no one else knows the Father, and is known by the Father as no one else is known by God the Father. I, he says in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus is the Son of God, very God. His goodness is the goodness of his deity. And he's proclaimed that in the passage. That really is the emphasis in the beginning of Jesus' statement. I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus is really harking back to what God said to Moses at the burning bush. When God appeared to Moses there in the wilderness, he said to Moses, I am that I am. And now Jesus says about himself, I am the Good Shepherd. By applying those words to himself, I am, Jesus is teaching clearly his deity. He is teaching that he is essentially one with God, one with God in his very being, essentially one with God. And therefore, he is good, good with the goodness of God himself. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd, not only because of his inherent goodness as the Son of God. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because of his goodness to us, his goodness to the sheep. Because that goodness is the greatest good, the highest good, the good of eternal life and salvation itself. Jesus says about himself, I am the Good Shepherd. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus distinguishes himself from all the false and faithless shepherds. He distinguishes himself from the thieves and the robbers. They are enemies of the sheep. They are not interested in the well-being, the good of the sheep, but they are interested in themselves. They steal the sheep. They kill the sheep. They scatter and destroy the sheep. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Therefore, I am the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, Jesus also distinguishes himself from the false and faithless shepherds. They are the hirelings to whom Jesus refers in the passage, verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Jesus has in mind the leaders of the Jews, the leaders of the church of his day. He has in mind the scribes and Pharisees, the chief priests. They were supposed to be the shepherds of God's sheep. They were called to lead God's sheep and to care for God's sheep. But they did not care for the sheep entrusted by God to their care. They did not carry out faithfully the duties of their offices as shepherds of God's sheep. But like the thieves and the robbers, they held their office for themselves, for their own good, at the expense of the sheep. In distinction from them, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd because he carries out faithfully the duty of a shepherd in relationship to his sheep. The duty of the shepherd was both to provide for the sheep and to protect the sheep. To provide for them and to protect them. Jesus does both of these. He does both of these by the giving of his life. In the giving of his life, he both makes provision for his sheep, and he defends them and protects them. He is therefore, in the giving of his life, the great good shepherd. That's the idea of the text. Read the text that way, and you do no violence to its meaning. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd because I give my life for the sheep. In the giving of his life at the cross, Jesus shows himself to be the good shepherd. We celebrate that giving of himself on the cross next Sunday morning. We celebrate with thankfulness to God the work of the good shepherd on our behalf. He gave his life on the cross. Jesus is speaking in the text prophetically. He's looking ahead to the cross, to his suffering and dying on the cross. There on the cross, he will give himself for the sheep. Exactly, because he is the good shepherd. He goes the way of the cross. And as the good shepherd, he dies the awful death that was the death of the cross. By his death on the cross, Jesus publicly proclaims himself to be the good shepherd of God's sheep. That's what the cross was. The cross was both the provision for the sheep, the satisfaction of the need of the sheep, their need before a righteous and holy God, and at the same time, the cross was the protection of the sheep, the protection of the sheep from all their enemies, the protection of the sheep from death and hell, from sin and from Satan. By his death on the cross, Jesus defended his sheep, subdued the enemies of the sheep, gained the victory over those enemies on behalf of the sheep. It is in connection with Jesus' giving of his life on the cross that we must notice a couple of important things. First of all, Jesus' giving of his life underscores his love for the sheep. His love for you and for me. That's what we will celebrate next Sunday morning. That's the great thing with thankfulness before God, that we will remember the Good Shepherd's love for us, his sheep. That's emphasized in the text. The text says nothing explicitly about the good shepherd's love of his sheep, but that love is there. It's there very plainly. That's emphasized when the text says that Jesus giveth his life for the sheep freely, willingly, voluntarily, without any compulsion, he laid down his life for us, his sheep. As he says himself in verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. That emphasizes Jesus' love for us. What would move him to do what he did? What would move him to lay down his life on our behalf? Guilty sinners that we are. What would move him to endure the wrath and judgment of God that we deserve? What would move him to do that willingly on our behalf? There's only one explanation for that. He loves us out of his love for us. He willingly stood in our place. This is what distinguishes the good shepherd. From all the hirelings, this is what distinguishes the good shepherd from the thieves and robbers. This is what distinguishes the good shepherd from the wild beasts who prey upon God's sheep. He loves the sheep. He loves them. Everyone. Out of that love, he willingly took their place. Out of that love, he laid down his life for the sheep. Oh, this is the great struggle in the life of the child of God. This is the great struggle and temptation that the believer faces at the end of his life. Does Jesus Christ love me? Love me? Even me, guilty sinner that I am, exposed in myself to the wrath and judgment of God. That's the temptation that the devil whispers in the ear of the child of God. He doesn't love you. This wouldn't be happening to you if he loved you. How can he love you? Look at yourself, sinner that you are. And then, with the eye of faith, we must turn away from ourselves. We must turn away from our earthly circumstances. And we must look with the eye of faith to the cross of Calvary. That cross is the proof, the absolute proof of his love for us, his love for me. He died. He died on that cross as the good shepherd. He laid down his life on my behalf. He loves me. He loves me with an everlasting love. The second place that Jesus gives his life for the sheep also teaches the vicarious or substitutionary nature of Jesus' death. Jesus died not for himself, but Jesus died in the place of others. We must know that. We must know that about Jesus' death if I am to be assured that he died for me. Jesus' death was such a death that he died as the substitute for others. He did not die because he personally deserved to die. He did not die because this was the judgment to which he personally was exposed. Not at all. He died for others in the place of others. That's the teaching of the text. That's the figure that the Lord Jesus uses in the text. The figure of the shepherd who stands between the enemy and the sheep whom he loves, who intervenes on the sheep's behalf in order, as the substitute of the sheep, to endure what otherwise that sheep would have to endure. He died for others. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd giveth his life for, that is, in the place of, as the substitute for the sheep. That's the testimony of the sacrament. The bread that's broken, the cup of wine that's poured out, bear testimony to the great truth of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. For the sheep. For whom does the good shepherd lay down his life? Who are those on behalf of whom he dies? Jesus answers that question in the text. He answers that question when he says that he lays down his life for the sheep. The atonement of Jesus' cross was a limited atonement. Jesus did not die to save every man. Jesus' death was not general or universal. Jesus' death was particular. He died for some men only. He died for the sheep. That's limiting. That's particular. He does not give his life for all men, only for the sheep. Sheep does not include all men. And that's Jesus' own teaching in the passage. In verse 8, he speaks of the thieves and the robbers. The thieves and robbers obviously are not of the sheep of Jesus. In the first part of verse 12, he speaks of the hirelings, and in the end of that verse, he makes reference to the wolves. Hirelings and wolves are not of the sheep of Jesus. And then, in verse 26, Jesus says to some in his audience, "Ye are not of my sheep." Jesus laid down his life for some only. The atonement of his cross was a limited atonement. That's clear from the figure. For to be one of Jesus' sheep is to be an elect of God. You may read the text that way too and do no violence to Jesus' teaching. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the elect. Only for the elect. That's in keeping with that figure of the sheep. And that's what it means to be one of the sheep of Jesus. That's due to God's eternal decree, God's giving of a man, giving of a woman to Jesus as one of Jesus' sheep. And that's consistent with the figure of the shepherd and the sheep. For what explains it that a sheep belongs to a certain shepherd. Is that due to the will, to the decision, to the activity of the sheep? Do the sheep make themselves the sheep of a given shepherd? Even the children here tonight know that that's not true. That's not the way it is. Sheep don't make themselves the sheep of a shepherd. A shepherd makes the sheep his sheep. That a sheep belongs to a certain shepherd, that's due to the decision of the shepherd. That's because of the activity of the shepherd. He does what is necessary to be done to purchase that sheep, to be his own, one of his sheep. He has made the sheep his own property. As that is true naturally, so is it also true spiritually. God has chosen the sheep. God has given the sheep to Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd of this particular sheep because of God's sovereign decree. Not only does Jesus limit his death by his teaching that he lays down his life only for the sheep, but he also limits his death by his teaching of the saving benefit of his death that comes not to all men, but to some only. Jesus' death actually availed to save not all men, but some only. His death was not only a limited atonement, it was a limited atonement. Atonement, real atonement, accomplished for some only. By his death, Jesus did not redeem every human being, but he redeemed only those for whom he laid down his life. His death paid in full the debt that they owed. His death fully satisfied God's righteousness on their behalf. For he laid down his life for the sheep. Not only does that teach limited atonement, but that teaches efficacious atonement, that is, real atonement for all those for whom he died. Jesus' death really accomplished their salvation. The sheep are actually saved by Jesus' death on their behalf. Jesus teaches that in the text. He says that in verse 10. In verse 10, he says that through him the sheep have life and have it more abundantly. And in verse 28, he teaches that all those for whom he dies, all of them, without exception, have life eternal. It ought to be plain then that Jesus did not die for every human being. It ought to be plain then that they who teach that Jesus died for everybody must also deny the efficacy of Jesus' atonement. There is a hell. There are people who go to hell. If Jesus now died for everybody, in spite of Jesus' death for them, some men end up in hell. What a blasphemous teaching that is. No. All for whom he died are saved by his death. Jesus is the good shepherd of all his sheep. Giving his life for the sheep. Jesus' death is of real and lasting benefit. Jesus brings that out in the text too. He brings that out in a striking way. Notice what Jesus says in the text. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Significantly, Jesus does not say, even though his death is future from the time at which he spoke these words, Jesus does not say, I am the good shepherd shall lay down his life for the sheep, shall give his life for the sheep. From our perspective, Jesus' death is in the past. From that point of view, we may say, the good shepherd gave his life. Nevertheless, what Jesus says is, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's ongoing. That's continuous. Giveth his life for the sheep. Now certainly, there was a moment in time when Jesus gave his life. That moment can't be repeated, notwithstanding the false teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Nevertheless, the benefit of Jesus' death, the benefit of his giving of his life for the sheep, that is enduring, that endures into eternity. From that point of view, from the point of view of the lasting value of his death, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What is the benefit of that giving of his life for the sheep? What is the lasting value of Jesus' death? First of all, it is our deliverance from death. That's what we deserve, every one of us. Death. Death under the wrath and judgment of God. Awful, awful death. But because he died, we are delivered from death. Because he laid down his life, giveth his life, we have life and have it more abundantly. That's the great value. Eternal life. Life now in the covenant of his grace. Life now under his favor in fellowship with him. And the promise is eternal life hereafter. Life that cannot be touched by the awful power of death. Life with God in the glory of everlasting life in heaven. That life is ours already now in beginning. That beginning is nourished under the preaching of the gospel and by means of the sacrament. By means of the sacrament and under the preaching of the gospel, the great good shepherd speaks to us. Speaking to us, he nourishes our life up unto himself, enriches the life that he has given to us, and on behalf of which he laid down his life. Through the preaching of the gospel and by means of the sacrament, we hear still today the voice of the good shepherd. And hearing his voice, we follow after him. We keep his commandments. We do his will. We will follow no one else, for no one else has laid down their life for us, because he is the great good shepherd, the one who giveth his life for us. Him we follow eternally. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for the work of the great good shepherd on behalf of us. A work delivering us from the greatest evil and bestowing upon us the highest good. The work of delivering us from death and giving to us everlasting life. Preserve that life. Enrich that life, and one day perfect that life in the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.